So I'm Claire Richmond, ex-TV producer and founder of Find a TV Expert. And basically what I'm going to cover today, a little bit about my background, a tiny bit about the business, but more important, the importance of experts on TV, what makes a good TV expert, could you be one? And if you think you could, then I'm going to give you 10 top tips on what you should be doing to get to the next stage. Basically, in terms of the background, I started off in PR. And at the age of 29, I had my first eureka moment. There have been two in my life. And the first one, I decided I wanted to work on The Big Breakfast. I became obsessed with The Big Breakfast and Chris Evans and Gabby Roslins and Zig and Zag. So I packed in my TV career and hounded The Big Breakfast until they finally gave me a job doing work experience at the age of 29. And basically pretty much spent 3 weeks stuffing envelopes. My parents thought that was a great career move. Spent the remaining 3 years doing other bits and pieces, and then they said thank you, goodbye. And I thought, right, not quite the plan. And then a week later, they called me back to help do their promotions and basically bag prizes because of my PR background. So I was at The Big Breakfast for just over a year, and then I joined live TV, and that's where I learnt how to start making TV. And did everything from topless darts to clairvoyant shows to doctor phone-ins and all the rest of it. From there, I went to Endemol and joined Real TV and started making changing rooms and Ready Steady Cook, as John mentioned. I then set up London TV for the London Tourist Board, did other bits and pieces, ended up doing Don't Get Done, Get Dom for the BBC. And then at the age of 42, I had my second eureka moment in life. And I was on a barge on the Canal du Midi in France. And I'd been thinking for a while about where to take my TV career. And I just thought, you know, there are a lot of experts out there who don't know how to promote themselves to the industry. You can't get an agent until you've been on TV. So what do you do? So I thought, I'll set up a platform. So I turned down a 10-month well-paid contract. And started working in the kitchen with my savings, and I set up findatvexpert.com, which, as John said, is basically an online database of experts, and it gives experts who want to be considered for TV opportunities the chance to showcase themselves and their expertise to the industry, and it gives members of the media, primarily TV, but also radio producers and freelance journalists, a fast and easy way of finding experts to comment on a subject or be part of a show. So basically that's how it works, because at the end of the day, the TV industry is always, always on the hunt for talent. Always. The new idea, the next big thing, the next twist, the next person. So they're always looking for TV people, and for new talent rather. And the reason for this is very simple. The UK is one of the leaders in factual programming. And by factual programming, it's something that you watch, you're entertained, but you come away having learnt something. So anything from Top Gear to Wife Swap to Changing Rooms to Location, 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 all those are factual shows. TV Gold is when you've got a factual show like Top Gear or like Location or Grand Designs or you know, How Clean Is Your House or whatever it may be, that is a formatted factual show, which means that you can run it year in, year out. You just find new contributors, but the format is exactly the same. You have a beginning, middle, end. As a viewer, you know what you're going to get, and you're entertained and you enjoy it, because that means that everyone wins. The experts who are on it win, because year in, year out, they're back again, and then they really start becoming part of, you know, of our consciousness, and they start writing the books and opening the envelopes, and all's well. The production companies love it because each year they've got a new commission, and the broadcasters love it because they've got a show that gets bums on seats. So formatted factual series are TV gold. But obviously they're also experts that are needed for documentaries. You know, you're doing a history documentary, you need a historian to tell you about a specific piece of history. There are also experts who are needed for news programs and your This Mornings and your breakfast TVs, where there is a topic and they need someone to come in, talk for 3 minutes, be succinct, in, out, bosh. So the need for experts is, you know, 100%. Because Experts bring authority to a show, they bring passion to a show, they bring credibility to a show. And if you've got that in a program, as a viewer, we're going to keep coming back to it because we're going to engage with it. You know, if you were watching a program, Super Nanny, and you had a presenter who didn't know the first thing about nannying, you're not going to watch it because you're not going to believe it. You're not going to have someone who knows nothing about children telling you how to bring up your kids. So experts really, really do engage the viewer. And the great thing about British TV is that we have experts of all shapes and sizes, all backgrounds, all looks. You know, there isn't a sort of, you have to be like this to be on telly. It's a cross-section because, again, as viewers, we don't want everyone to look and sound the same on TV. We want different people. We want people who challenge us. We want people who make us question the way we think. We want people who entertain us. We want people who maybe we hate, but we love watching them anyway. So we want that cross-section of talent on TV, which, again, is why the industry is always on the hunt for it. And part of what I do as my job is I meet up with production companies every week, with creative directors, with exec producers, with heads of developments, to find out what they're working on and to try and hook them up with people I know who are on Find a TV Expert who might be relevant. And the list of what people are looking for is as long as it is varied. I had a meeting with Plum Pictures last week, and they were looking for witchcraft doctors. This morning has a wish list which includes vets, showbiz experts, what else were they looking for? Property people, but they didn't know quite exactly what they wanted to do with property, but they want something to do with property. Everyone's looking for the new business show. Everyone's looking for another way to crack cookery shows. There's a production company called Giant Peach, and they were looking for the next big thing in gardening. Someone who, as they said, it had heaps of energy and was obsessed about their expertise. So, and that's, you know, that's just a tiny section. So the hunt is on. And the other one, just in case anyone knows, another production company I met with, they were looking for, does anyone watch House? They were looking for the real House. So if anyone happens to know a doctor who does what House does, I know a production company who's looking for him. Just in case, never know. Paper. Oops, no, I'm still on this sheet. Sorry about that. So the fact is, when it comes to... hold on, no, I have messed up here. Right. Here we go. So everyone wants TV. And I mean, everyone wants new talent. And obviously, it's good for the broadcaster and it's good for the production company. But it's, as John was saying earlier, it's great for the talent too, because there's nothing like being on TV to help raise a profile. And yes, if you get your 3-minute spot, you might be noticed. But if you get the series where you're on TV every day, you know, or once a week for 6 weeks or 8 weeks, that's when people really start to notice you. And obviously, up goes your media profile, up goes the sales of your books, up goes everything. So if you've got it, you know, you should flaunt it. So the next bit then is thinking about what makes a good TV expert. Now, when you're watching TV, who's someone that you like watching? Anyone?
David Mitchell.
Anyone else? I can see the talent on TV is really grabbing everyone. Dermot. The lovely gardening man. Any others? Bruce Parry. Jeremy Paxman, yeah, you see. So,
Ryan Cox.
Oh, really?
The astronomer.
Yeah, physicist.
Physicist, rock star physicist, I think he describes himself as. Well, basically, there are five main things that you should be thinking about in terms of being a TV expert. For starters, obviously, knowledge and expertise. You've got to tick that box. You know, think Super Nanny, as I said earlier. You wouldn't have a nanny doing a show if she wasn't a nanny. Phil and Kirsty work on location, 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 because they have an estate agent background. It makes sense to have Sue Barker, an ex-tennis player, doing Wimbledon because she knows what she's talking about. It was funny, during Winter Olympics, they had one of the new ones, and they had someone commenting who clearly had never done that looshing or whatever it was, and the Twitters were going mad, going, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And it's probably true. So, you know, to be on TV, you have to be the expert. And as John said, you know, Dr. Brian Cox, I mean, he's a professor at the University of, what is it, Manchester. He's a fellow of the Royal Society, and he's presenting a new, what's it called, Wonders of the Solar System for the BBC. So you know, if you've got the expertise, fine. But it doesn't only have to be your doctor, your dentist, your designer. It can be anything, because anything might catch the eye of a TV producer and give them an idea. There was a series I watched last year, and I can't remember the name of it, but it was basically they were following pest control people, and they were just going into the houses getting rid of the rats. But they liked the two guys, and let's make a show. So, you know, you don't have to be a professor or a physicist or a nuclear biologist or whatever to get on TV. Is there a nuclear biologist? Does that exist as a... No, probably not. One of the two. Sorry? It will eventually. The other thing you have to have to be on TV is passion. You've got to be passionate. And, you know, now passion comes in different sizes and different packages. Does anyone here watch The Choir? No one watched The Choir? Gareth Malone. Yes. Fantastic. Gareth is passionate about music. He is not a huge TV personality, but he just wants to get everyone singing. And that's what comes across in that series, and that's what makes that series such a lovely series. It's not about Gareth. It's about him sort of fulfilling his passion, which is seeing people start to sing. And it just works. Another thing you have to have, or that helps, is attitude. So you've got the knowledge, you've got the expertise, you've got the passion, you've got attitude. Now think Gordon Ramsay. Think Mary, Queen of Shops. Whether you like them or hate them, they have attitude. And as a viewer, it engages you because you either like or hate them. But they are passionate about what they do. They know their stuff. You know, they've got the Michelin stars. They've, in the case of Mary Porter's, they've turned around Harvey Nicks. They can go in and tell you your business is crap. Because they know it is, because they have the experience and the knowledge, and they're not afraid of saying, you know, telling you what they think. So that works on TV as well. You don't have to have that attitude, but that's one of the things that also makes the industry sit up and take notice. Another thing is quirkiness or uniqueness. So, you know, think Gok Wan, think the two fat ladies, think the hairy bikers, think Kim Woodburn from How Clean Is Your House. They all look a bit weird, they're a bit different, they're a bit mad, they're a bit crazy. But again, as a viewer, we want people like that on TV. We don't want everyone to look and sound the same. So if you've got something unique or quirky or a bit different, that is good, as long as you've also got the knowledge and the expertise to back it up. And the final thing that also interests, or they're probably more, these are the main five, that interest TV production companies are experts with access, or experts with projects that they're working on. And by access, you might, whatever it is you do, you have access to your clients, to your world, that a TV researcher or a TV producer won't have access to. And suddenly there might be something that's run-of-the-mill for you, but you tell me as a TV producer and I go, really? You know these people? They exist? I mean, I was talking to someone last year and she was a worm expert. And she was telling me about these green worms. And I was thinking, green worms? There must be a show. You know, it's visual, it's green. So, you know, things that are everyday in your lives might, from a TV point of view, make people get very excited. Or there might be a project that you're working on that catches the imagination of a TV producer. So again, I don't know if anyone saw Channel 4, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, there was a series called Chateau Monty. And there was an expert, a British guy, who was going to create the first biodynamic vineyard in the south of France. And basically, Channel 4 followed the story. There was another guy called Willie, I think he's called Willie Harcourt Booze or Cruise, I think it's Booze actually. And he had bought a cacao plantation in Venezuela, and he wanted to make chocolate to use in cooking and start a business. They followed the business, they followed his journey with that. And even, you know, even Gordon Ramsay himself, in 1998, his first stint on TV was with Boiling Point. They were following his journey to try and get three Michelin stars. So, you know, there could be something that you're doing that's business related or non-business related that might just catch the attention of a TV producer. Sometimes it helps to have friends. Jimmy Dougherty, the farmer, happened to know Jamie Oliver. When his farm, he decided to do a farm, they followed him setting up a farm. You know, so anything's possible. So access and projects, also very good. And the bottom line of all of this is because TV, especially sort of factual entertainment shows, and even specialist factual shows, you know, the aim of them is to entertain, to inspire, and to inform, and pretty much in that order. You know, when we come home from work at 8 o'clock, we don't want to sit and listen to a lecture. We want a bit of fun. We want a bit of drama. We want a bit of, oh, I can't believe they live like that. You know, we want to watch Come Dine With Me and just have a nose at their houses and criticize the food they're making. You know, we want to do that. We don't want to sit there thinking that we're in a conference room listening to all this facts and information being chucked at us. So the challenge for a production company is to package the expertise into a program that is watchable and that as a viewer we watch, and chances are at the end of each show you might come away with 3 facts that you kind of remember and that sort of stick in your mind, but you've had a nice time, you've watched it, you're going to watch it again next week because it was fun and you picked up some information along the way. So, you know, if you're thinking about using TV and you want to get on TV for whatever reason, whether it's because you want to share your passion or whether you'd like a little bit more publicity because you want to start, sell your book or whatever, but never go in saying you want to sell a book because then they won't like that at all. Not at all. If you have the book as part of your expertise, that's great, but they're not going to book you to talk about your book. So really, really, really think about what makes you special. And it's no different to if you're deciding to start a business. You've got to figure out why your business is going to work. It's no different to if you're deciding to launch a product and you're going to put it on the shelves. What is going to make people pick up that product when there are so many others like it around? And when you're pitching yourself to the TV industry, you've got to think, what is it about me that is going to get them interested? Because there are a lot of views out there. But someone's got to have that extra something that a TV producer goes, yeah, you know what, that could really work. So you've really got to hone in on that. There's no point thinking, oh, I'd be great on telly, because there are millions saying the same thing, you know, or having friends saying, you'd be great on telly. Figure out what your USP is. Figure out what is ultimately going to make a production company who is going to pitch you to a broadcaster really sit up and take notice of you. Why are they going to think this person is worth pitching? And ultimately, what is going to make a viewer want to watch you? Part of that, obviously, is the show which the production company has to pull together, but the talent is a big part of that. So anyone here thinking, yep, could be a TV expert? Anyone? Yeah. Beginning, right, okay. So what to do next? Here are my top 10 things for if you want to be a TV expert, what to do next. The first thing, watch TV, think TV, read TV, understand TV. I have had chats with people who say to me, oh, you know, I'd love to be on TV, I think I'd be great. And I say, so if you're on TV now, what show would you be on? Who would you be on TV? Don't know really, because I don't watch much telly. Don't have the time. And you think, well, you know, if you're applying for a job, you'd kind of find out what the company does first. You know, if you're going to sort out a business, you kind of want to see if there's a need for it. But, you know, you have to see how TV works. You have to watch TV going, could I be that? If I were on that show, what could I bring to it? So two ways of doing that. You know, for starters, you could buy Broadcast. Broadcast Industry Magazine, and I have nothing to do with Broadcast, I'm not on a commission, but it's the industry magazine. It talks about what's being commissioned, what's on, etc., what's working, what's not working. Another thing is, and the lovely Nicola is here. Nicola, raise your hand. Nicola over there has a blog called TV Mole. Is it tvmole.com? Yes. tvmole.com. Nicola does a rundown of all the programs that have been greenlit. So again, if you go there, if you don't want to spend money on Broadcast, go and have a look at Nicola's website, because you'll get a sense of what is being made, of what is being commissioned, of what is getting the green light. So given that now we're assuming you know how the industry works, you get it, you know how to pitch yourself, you've found your USP, what else can you be doing? to get noticed. The thing to remember here is that TV producers, researchers, creative directors, they are scanners. I mean, they are your scanners supremos, because they will be watching telly, listening to the radio, reading the press, Googling, reading blogs. They will be looking everywhere for talent. They'll be coming to find a TV expert, they'll be going to agencies, they'll be checking out universities. So you've got to plug as many of those gaps as you can. So, you know, one way of doing this, write a book. Become an authority on your subject, so they say you are the expert. And in fact, I was talking to someone today from a production company, and they did a program, and they need a Chinese, not a Chinese expert, an expert on China. So what did they do? They went to they went to the bookstore, found out who wrote books on China, and started contacting them. And that's how they found their expert on China, who then actually worked on the production as a consultant. But hey, it's a way in. When I was working on Changing Rooms, I would often go to the bookstores to find out who's written the latest cookery book or the latest design book, because if I was looking for new chefs, that was a way to find out if there was anyone new. So, you know, if you've got a book, good. If you haven't, but you could write one, think about it. Presentations. Give presentations at consumer fairs, science fairs, whatever it is that's related to your expertise, because again, you never know, there might be a researcher there scanning, trying to find new talent. And they hear you, they like you, they like the way you talk, they like what you're saying, they might give you a phone call. Google. Top of Google searches. As John was saying, you know, get your blogs going. Be at the top of Google searches. Because again, you know, Gareth Malone from The Choir, when the production company that's called 2-4, when they were thinking up the idea for that show, they literally Googled choir masters. And up pops Gareth. Now, he's got all the expertise, his royal, whatever it's called, not Philharmonica, but, you know, he's got all the knowledge, but he came up on Google, they met him, they liked him, he was off. So, you know, be at the top of your Google search, figure out what your keyword is from your USP, and make sure you're up there. And keep that USP quite succinct as well. Make the news. Last year, there was a makeup artist who suddenly became an overnight superstar on YouTube because she just did it in her, you know, in her living room kind of thing. Next thing you know, she's on This Morning doing the makeup. You know, it works that way too. Be in the news. If you've got a PR person working with you or anything, if you can get quoted in articles, if you can get features written about you, get in the papers, get in the press, because the researchers, the producers, they're all scanning. They're all reading the articles, looking at who's saying what. If there's a photo, they'll look at the photo. Oh, he looks interesting. Oh, she looks good. You know, and they will then track you down. So be seen in the press. And also, you know, on the radio. I mean, if any of you work from home, and you can put talk radio in the background, and if there's a subject that's relevant to what you do, phone in, because you never know who's going to be listening to that. And you never know what the producer of that show might know, or who she might know, because if you come across fantastically and they love you, they might get you back on the radio show for another time, and then someone else might hear you, and it's that sort of, you know, the effect. So be heard and be seen. Join relevant associations. If there is association, if you're a member of association, make sure you let them know that if they get a phone call from a TV company, you want to be on the list. Now, when I was working at Live TV and doing Topless Darts, it was quite tabloidy, but it was fun. One of the series I was asked to develop was called Britain's Bounciest Weather, which was basically a dwarf on a trampoline bouncing up, telling the forecast. So when they got to Scotland, he had to really jump. And so I had to go and find dwarfs who would bounce and be on TV. So I started with Restricted Growth Association and called them and said, this is what we're doing. If it's offensive, tell me now. They said, no, you know, that's interesting, but they're going to be on a trampoline and they're going to be bouncing. Okay, fine, great. So then they gave me the contact for a management company called Willow Management, who happened to manage dwarfs. And they have every single dwarf you ever want on their books. Dwarfs who want to be on TV and who want to be public. And I, just in case anyone thinks I'm not being PC, I did check with them. I said, I kept on referring to them as, you know, restricted growth people. And they said, look, Claire, you can just call us dwarfs. It's fine. I said, okay. And you're going to be on a bouncing thing. Okay, fine. Anyway, we found the perfect dwarf. He was one of the hooded creatures of the desert in Star Wars, so a bit of a star as well. But the fact is, I found him by contacting associations. When I was doing a doctor phone-in show, I called the Association of Broadcast Doctors. Because in those days, there was, I don't know, Google hadn't kicked in then, so it was a lot harder. You had this big book with an orange spine, and it was the Book of Associations. And you sort of went through and tried to find an association that matched whatever it was you were looking for. And then they would then put you in touch with people or other associations. So, you know, if you're in a university, get on the university list. But you know, get on lists of people like you. Because, again, that's where the industry will be looking at. If you're young enough and you're willing to work for very little money and long, long hours, you can try and join a production company as a researcher or a runner. That is one way in. Kate Humble was a researcher on The Holiday Show. One of the programs they were making, they needed someone different to do a little something on camera. They got her to do it, and then, you know, she is now presenting loads of different shows. Just recently, I was reading in the papers, see, it's always scanning. Elise Fowler, who's one of the gardening, what's that gardening program called? The Gardening Show? No. Gardener's World. She has got all the credentials, worked for the Royal Horticultural Society, was at Kew, so, you know, expert through and through. She joined the team as a researcher because she wanted to do TV, and they then bumped her into presenting because she had what it takes. They put a camera on you, go, oh, you look lovely, you know your stuff, you're passionate, we like your angle, which is, it's not eco, but it's, you know, something a bit different. So then that's how she got on. But you have to be willing to work very hard for very little money to start with. Now, you know, there is the time is right luck card that you could try. A bit trickier, that one. Jamie Oliver was cooking at the River Cafe when the BBC went to do some filming with the owners. They spotted him in the background, went back to film him. He became a star. Trickier, though, that one. Might take longer. So the flip side of that coin is, you know, be proactive. I was always amazed when I worked on Changing Rooms that although I was a series producer, my name came out, you know, last in the credits. In 3 years, I probably had about 7 people contact me saying, if ever you're looking for a new designer, here I am. Why? I don't know. You know, if you've got an expertise, if there is a show on TV that has people like you, watch the show, find out who makes it in the credit, email them. Just let them know you exist. They don't want 3 pages of how wonderful you are. Just keep it short, but just, you know, flag yourself up on their radar. Because you just never know. They might go, actually, yeah, we're thinking about doing a new twist, and maybe you'd be right. So don't be afraid of contacting a production company. Calling them's trickier, because chances are you'll call, you'll get through to someone, and they'll go, yes, what? And you say, oh, well, I'm this wonderful dentist, designer, doctor, whatever it may be. And they'll go, uh-huh, just send me an email. Because they're not, you know, they'll be thinking about scripts, they'll be thinking about the filming shoot that's going hideously wrong, and the, you know, so just send an email. Keep it short, though. Don't have pages of it, because they won't read it. They'll scan. One paragraph, say what it is, and Twitter style, you know, keep it short. The back door way that also works is that if you've got an expertise and if there is a show on TV that is relevant to that, so for example, Grand Designs, they're always looking for people to be on the show. What's the other one? The cookery show that, oh, Come Dine With Me. If you're a good cook, let them know. Because again, if you come across well, if the production company think you're great, if viewers engage with you, the production company might just think, you know what, maybe we should do something else with this person. So, you know, when you think of MasterChef, there was one of the chefs, Thomasina Myers, I think she's probably been the only female chef to win, or amateur cook to become MasterChef. She has now gone on and presented several different TV series. And, you know, Ben Fogel was Castaway, however many years ago that was. They loved him. Viewers liked him. What else does he do? What's he passionate about? Let's see if we can come up with a show. So, you know, that's another way to get noticed. And obviously, leaving the best to last, you can join findatvexpert.com. Now, you know, because it's one of those things, you just never know who's whether you're right, but you've got to be found. The more ways they can find you, the better. I was just saying to John today, I had an email from an explosive expert this morning who was very excited because a production company called Lion TV have contacted him. They're doing a new series called Victorian Pharmacy, and they want him to be part of the show, not to present it, but to have some role within the show. There was a personal finance and property journalist, who John Rennie, who joined the site, and 3 months later he was signed up to co-present 20 half hours for BBC One. There is a behavioural change specialist called Sven Sufi. She got spotted by Virgin TV in my updates, because I send updates to the industry every other week with details of new experts and stuff. And I keep it very short because they don't like things too long, although some of it's still a bit too long. But she got spotted, and Virgin TV are doing a series called The Naked Office, and she is the presenter. Not a co-presenter, she is the presenter. There's a witchcraft historian who was contacted by Living in November to do 7 days filming for UK Most Haunted Live, and he was back at the beginning of this year. There's a doctor of clinical psychology who's done lots of bits and pieces, has done this morning. So, you know, people are being found, they're being contacted, they're being screen tested. Sometimes it doesn't go further because it's not quite right, because the whole program making process is then another whole topic of conversation, how that works. But basically, you know, the more ways the industry can find you, the better. And if, I'll say this very quickly, if you do decide that you want to start promoting yourself to the industry, there's a discount voucher on the table there to join Find a TV Expert if you register before the end of the month. So at the end of the day, you know, the industry is on the hunt for talent because great experts make great TV. Great experts alone don't make great TV. Great experts combined with a great format make great TV. But you're halfway there if you've got fantastic talent on board, which is why everyone's on the hunt for them. And it's a win-win for everyone if it works out. So if you've got it, flaunt it and let as many people know as you can and plug all those gaps. And I think that's about it. Look at that, 32 minutes 54. On time. Thank you very much.